From Radio Deutsche Welle, Melody Time. Join us for half an hour of light classical music. Hello, I'm Diane Erickson. Welcome to the program, which opens today with the overture to Mozart's opera, The Marriage of Figaro. The world premiere was quite a theatrical event. No, not Mozart's opera, but the biting comedy by Beaumarchais on which it was based. Premiered in Paris on the 27th of April, 1784, the comedy's mordant wit and social criticism roused mixed feelings in the audience. These, in fact, were the first sparks before the great storm of revolution to sweep across Europe. The play was immediately banned by King Louis XVI, and not too surprisingly, Austria's Emperor Joseph II didn't want to have anything to do with it either. However, the clever librettist Lorenzo da Ponte succeeded in obtaining imperial permission to use the play for an opera libretto, provided that all objectionable material was deleted. Mozart's brilliant score for this diffused text completed the magic. Whether the work was rendered completely harmless, well, that's a point of dispute. But in the end, when the work was premiered on the 1st of May, 1786, in the presence of the Emperor, it was very well received. Hear now the overture to The Marriage of Figaro with the Berlin Philharmonic, conducted by Daniel Barenboim.
Thank you.
Overture to Mozart's opera The Marriage of Figaro. That opera, which premiered more than 210 years ago with Mozart himself conducting, is still considered one of the great gems in the repertoire the world over. However, shortly after its premiere, the Viennese public lost interest, and it soon disappeared from the stage there. But things were very different in Prague, where Figaro was an enormous success. During a visit there, Mozart rode back to Vienna. "Nothing else is played, sung, or whistled here except my Figaro." Incidentally, the story in Mozart's opera is actually part two of the Figaro trilogy by Beaumarchais. Part one, The Barber of Seville, was set to music by the Italian maestro Gioachino Rossini. Today, of course, his opera is also world famous, but Rossini had to endure a lot more than Mozart. At its premiere, The Barber of Seville was actually hissed and booed. Success only came gradually, but then it really started to take off. Like Mozart in an earlier era, Rossini also wrote to a friend, "With each passing day, my barber is getting more and more acclaim. Almaviva's serenade can be heard echoing through all the streets at night, and Figaro's aria is the showpiece of all bassists." Tito Gobbi sings the Largo from Act I of The Barber of Seville. The Philharmonia Orchestra of London is conducted by Alceo Galliera.
Che bel vivere, che bel piacere. piacere, che bel piacere per un barbiere di qualità, di qualità. Tutti mi chiedono, tutti mi vogliono, donne e ragazzi, vecchie fanciulle, dalla parrucca, presto la barba, allo sanguigno, presto il biglietto, e mi chiedono, e mi vogliono, e mi vogliono, e mi vogliono, dalla parrucca, presto la barba, presto il biglietto, e Figaro, 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 Figaro. Ahimè, che voglia, ahimè, che voglia, solo il lavoro in mano, per carità, per carità, per carità, uno alla volta, uno alla volta, uno alla volta, per carità. Figaro, son qua, ehi, Figaro, son qua, Figaro qua, Figaro là, Figaro qua, Figaro là, Figaro su, Figaro giù, Figaro su, Figaro giù, nella bellissima, sotto le turbine, sotto il mondo, nella città, nella città, nella città, nella città, nella città.
Kobe with probably the most famous passage from The Barber of Seville. Joseph Strauss, the most sensitive of the three sons of Johann Sr., became a musician not because of some deep inner calling, but against his will and for quite practical reasons. The Strauss family business, music, needed someone to relieve the overworked Johann. Brother Joseph, who, though extremely talented musically, was actually intent on being an engineer and inventor, seemed to be just the person to fill the bill. Or at least that was the opinion of Mother Strauss, who served as the unofficial family manager. It turned out she was right, because Joseph Strauss soon proved to be a more than acceptable composer. For instance, during the 1867 carnival season, Joseph's Delirium Waltz is said to have stirred up a veritable waltz hysteria throughout Vienna. Now the Vienna Johann Strauss Orchestra with Filip Ostrowski recreates some of that spark with Joseph Strauss's Delirium Walzer.
Thank you.
Joseph Strauss's Delirium Waltz. By the end of the last century, after the deaths of the three great masters of the golden age of Viennese operetta, Suppé, Strauss, and Mölliker, it was feared that with them, the operetta genre had also irrevocably gone. This fear couldn't have been more unfounded, because by the beginning of the new century, operetta was celebrating a brilliant comeback. Ushering in this new silver age was Franz Lehár, the son of a military bandmaster. At first, young Lehár planned to follow in his father's footsteps, but then, lured by the magic of the theater, he decided he wanted to compose music for the stage. And so Franz quit the military service, much to the chagrin of his mother, who feared he'd end up as a starving artist. His first big hit, The Merry Widow, was soon followed by a second, The Count of Luxembourg, the story of a marriage in which she buys the title for which he, always in dire straits financially, pockets a huge sum. In other words, the marriage is strictly a business arrangement. But then, as we'd expect in a good operetta, after various plot twists and turns, a marriage of convenience turns into a love match. In our next musical selection, however, we haven't yet reached the love phase. As the ambitious lady sings, "Heut noch werde ich Ehefrau," this very day I shall be a bride, with no idea what she's really getting into. Lucia Popp sings the part of the future Countess of Luxembourg.
Thank you.
excerpt from Franz Lehár's operetta The Count of Luxembourg. The unforgettable Lucia Popp was accompanied by the Graunke Symphony Orchestra with Willy Matas conducting. We'll close today's Melody Time with another musical theater piece, but this time in a completely different vein. The great Norwegian dramatist Henrik Ibsen and his philosophical play Peer Gynt are world-renowned, as is Edvard Grieg's music for this drama, commissioned by Ibsen himself. Grieg adapted the Peer Gynt music into two concert suites, Opus 46 and Opus 55, selecting 8 out of 23 pieces for the suites. The first four have become enormously popular. They include the fantastic romantic scene in the Hall of the Mountain King. The Beecham Choral Society and Royal Philharmonic Orchestra are conducted by Sir Thomas Beecham. Melody Time was compiled by Barbara Anders and produced by Rick Fulker, with help from studio engineer Brigitte Klapper. I'm Diane Erickson. Thanks for listening to this presentation of Radio Deutsche Welle, Cologne. Thank you.